I considered leaving everybody else here and taking a transit tube by myself on a circular journey right round the system, trying to spot the mine on the suit mass sensor. It wouldn't take too long, even doing it twice to cover both sets of tracks between stations. The transit tubes have no reactors, so we wouldn't get any false echoes to interfere with the sensor's readings. Wubslin, sitting in the seat which faced the train's main controls, looked downcast.
"Why not send the rest of us back to the ship, then?" Balveda said.
Hawser looked at her.
"Balveda, you are not here to make suggestions."
"Just trying to be helpful?"
The culture agent shrugged.
"What if you still can't find anything?"
Yalson asked.
"We go back to the ship," Hawser said, shaking his head. "That's about all we can do. Wubslin can check the suit mass sensor on board, and depending on what we find is wrong with it, we might come back down or we might not. Now the power's on, none of that should take very long or involve any hard slog."
"Pity," Wubslin said, fingering the controls. "We can't even use this train to get back to Station 4 because of that train in Station 6 blocking the way."
"It probably would still move," Hawser told the engineer. "We'll have to do some shunting whichever way we go if we use the mainline trains."
"Oh, well then," Wubslin said a little dreamily and looked over the controls again. He pointed at one of them. "Is that the speed control?"
Hawser laughed, crossing his arms and grinning at the man.
"Yes, we'll see if we can arrange a little journey."
He leaned over and pointed out a couple of other controls, showing Wubslin how the train was readied for running. They pointed and nodded and talked. Yalson stirred restlessly in her seat. Finally, she looked over at Balveda. The culture woman was looking at Hawser and Wubslin with a smile. She turned her head to Yalson, sensing her gaze, and smiled more widely, moving her head fractionally to indicate the two men and raising her eyebrows. Yalson reluctantly grinned back and shifted the weight of her gun slightly. The lights came quickly now. They streamed by, creating a flickering, strobing pattern of light in the dim cabin. He knew. He had opened his eye and had seen. It had taken all his strength just to lift that eyelid. He had drifted off to sleep for a while. He was not sure for how long. He only knew he had been dozing. The pain was not so bad now. He had been still for some time, just lying here with his broken body, slanted out of the strange alien chair, his head on the control console, his hand wedged into the small flap by the power control, fingers jammed under the failsafe lever inside. It was restful. He could not have expressed how pleasant it all was after that awful crawl through both the train and the tunnel of his own pain. The train's motion had altered. It still rocked him, but a little faster now, and with a new rhythm added as well, a more rapid vibration which was like a heart beating fast. He thought he could hear it too now. The noise of the wind blowing through these deep buried holes, far under the blizzard-swept wastes above. Or maybe he imagined it. He found it hard to tell. He felt like a small child again, on a journey with his year fellows and their old quirl mentor, rocked to sleep, slipping in and out of a dozing, happy sleep. He kept thinking,
"I have done all I could. Perhaps not enough, but it was all I had in my power to do."
It was comforting. Like the ebbing pain, it eased him. Like the rocking of the train, it soothed him. He closed his eye again. There was comfort in the darkness, too. He had no idea how far along he was, and was starting to think it did not matter. Things were beginning to drift away from him again. He was just beginning to forget why he was doing all this, but that didn't matter either. It was done. So long as he didn't move, nothing mattered. Nothing. Nothing at all. The doors were jammed all right, same as the other train. The drone became exasperated and slammed against one of the reactor chamber doors with a force field, knocking itself back through the air with the reaction. The door wasn't even dented.
Uh-oh.
Back to the crawlways and cable runs. Unahar Klosp turned and headed down a short corridor, then down a hole in the floor, heading for an inspection panel under the floor of the lower deck. Of course, I end up doing all the work. I might have known. Basically, what I'm doing for that bastard is hunting down another machine. I ought to have my circuits tested. I have a good mind not to tell him, even if I do find the mine somewhere. That would teach him. It threw back the inspection hatch and lowered itself into the dim, narrow space under the floor. The hatch hissed shut after it, blocking out the light. It thought about turning back and opening the hatch again, but knew it would just close automatically once more, and that it would lose its temper and damage the thing, and that was all a bit pointless and petty. So it didn't. That sort of behaviour was for humans. It started off along the crawlway, heading toward the rear of the train, underneath where the reactor ought to be.
The Adiran was talking. Avager could hear it, but he wasn't listening.